Good morning, everyone. Let me ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 9. We'll begin there in just a moment. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Do you love me?" That's an important phrase, isn't it? In the Bible, I remember that Jesus asked somebody that question. And I like us to think, if Jesus asked us that same question, how would we respond? Because we're told that if we love him, what will we do? We will obey him. And when we look and we think about Jesus, he is our God, he's our Lord, he's also our friend, isn't he? And I'd like you to think about what a friend is. I need to thank my daughter-in-law, I'm going to mention her, because recently the doctor told me I needed to do something, and I didn't like the sound of it. Heart catheterization. All I can think of is that thing going in my body and something happening. But thanks to her, she gave me some good advice. She says, you need to do it. Because it's important to find it now rather than if there's something, a problem later. So I want to thank her for giving me that good advice. I'm still afraid, okay, I'm nervous, but because of her advice to me and my trust in her, I'm going to do that this Friday. Hope it goes well. Now, Jesus says, if you love me, what will you do? You will keep my commandments. And also he tells us, if you turn very quickly to John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus tells us what we need to do to be his disciples. And I'm focusing on this for just a moment because to be his disciples, we need to know his word. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So in John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. And what kind of freedom is he talking about here? Is he talking about freedom from tyranny rule, from Roman rule? No, he's talking about you're free from what? The bondage of sin. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So you need to know God's word. You need to know his word. And as he says here, you need to abide in his word. And again, that's why I'm looking so much right now at the book of Acts. Because Acts is Luke's account of the early church. And we can look to this to see how the church grew, how the Lord worked in spreading the good news, and what was taught and what was done. And we need to look at that, for example. In Acts chapter 9, if you turn there very quickly, Acts chapter 9, up to this point as we've been going through the book of Acts, the gospel has been kind of limited in a certain region. In Acts chapter 9, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So early, when the gospel was being preached, it was first to the Jews. It went also to the Samaritans who were half Jewish. And now what we're going to look at is the first time the message is being given to someone who was not Jew or half Jewish. And what this shows is that the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is for who? It's for everyone. Cornelius is the first recorded example we have of a Gentile that becomes a Christian. And we need to examine this. Because he was the first Gentile who was converted, but also look at the way it was done. There were some miracles that took place, similar to the first time the good news was preached to the Jews. And this was going to be used as a sign that the Gentiles were also to be part of the kingdom of God. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 10, and let's examine this. And again, another point we made before, just because somebody is religious, does that mean they're right before God? No. There must be somebody sitting here this morning, and you have this obligation. Maybe you pray to God. Maybe you love God. But unless you obey him, you're going to be rejected by God. So we need to examine ourselves. Am I doing what God has instructed me to do? And here we see the news being given to the Gentiles for the first time. And here we see in Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, one who feared God. So this description of Cornelius, one thing here, he's a centurion, he has authority, Roman army, at least 100 men underneath him. And then it says here, a devout man and one who feared God. Now you might know somebody today, and they sincerely believe they are serving God. They sincerely believe that, but they're sincerely wrong. So again, here we find, it says, with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. So those are three important characteristics of this individual. This man was devout, he feared God, he gave alms generously, and he prayed to God always. That's the information, background we have about him. I don't know anything other than that. I don't know how Cornelius came to know God. It had to be somehow through the Jews and some kind of influence. But even though he did these things, there was something else he needed to do. And I want to again emphasize, God will provide a means for you to know what to do. God will provide that. A good example, again, I didn't want to do that heart catheterization. And I even did research on it, looked at it and what it was, and I didn't like it. But if somebody hadn't helped me and say, you need to do this and why, I would not do it. Look at verse 3. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming and saying to him, Cornelius. And once again, God is providing the means for him to know what to do. Now today, we're not going to have an angel come to us unless somehow God does that. He has the ability to do that. But the way that we are going to know what God wants us to do is how. Only one way today. If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we need to know his word. And that's one thing we're doing right now, isn't it? We are looking at his word together. We're looking at it together. Look at verse 4. The angel comes, he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. That's a whole other subject about the importance of prayer. But God knows his desire. God knows his heart. God knows that he wants to be obedient and serve him. He wants to know what to do. Verse 5. Now send men to Joppa. Send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Do we all know who Peter is? Who's Peter? Jesus said to him, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. He said that to him and his disciples. He preached the gospel on the first time on Pentecost to the who? To the Jews. Who preached to the Samaritans, we have recorded? Philip did, went to preach to the Samaritan. Now Peter is now going to open the door, preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Verse 6, he's lodging with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Now look at verse 6 again very carefully. Send for Peter, and he tells him why you need to send for Peter. He will tell you what you must do. Now this happens time and time again. God is going to provide a means for you to know what you must do. And once again, the angel could have just told him. Couldn't he have done that? The angel could have did that. Same thing with Saul of Tarsus, right? Jesus could have told him right there on the road. He said, no, you need to go there. It will be told you what you must do. So once again, there are things that we must do. And when we talk to people about the good news of Jesus Christ, we must not shy away from telling them, these are things that you must do if you want to follow Christ. Now, you think that Paul ever had any problems with people because he told them what they must do? Yes. And one thing, in Galatians chapter 4, Paul says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And that's what happens so many times even today. We talk to people, we tell them from God's word the truth, and what happened? We can become their enemy. Has that ever happened to you? I'm guilty. When I first heard the message from a very close friend of mine now who helped me to obey the gospel, I did not like him. I did not want him in my house. I told Linda, he knows I don't like him. Don't let him in my house. Now, why didn't I like him? Why? Because he was telling the truth from God's word. And I didn't like it. Because that means what I was doing was wrong. That everything I've been taught was wrong, and I'm going to have to change. So I didn't like him. He became what? My enemy. And continuing, he will tell you what you must do. In verse 7, and when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants, a devoted soldier from among those who waited on him continually. And when he explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now what did Cornelius do after the angel gave him instruction? What did he do? Did he put it off for a year? 6 months? No. After the angel had spoken to him, he called for his servants and one of the soldiers even, and he sent them to Joppa. So now we know that Cornelius has been told what he needs to do to get it started. But now let's shift back to Peter. When Peter has been preaching the message of good news of Jesus Christ, who has he been preaching to? To the Jews, to God's chosen people. And if we know the Bible, we know there's a great distinction in the eyes of the Jews between those who were Jewish, descendants of Abraham, and those who are the Gentiles. And we're going to see that here shortly. Because for Peter to do this, he needs to be instructed. And God is going to provide that instruction. Now let me ask you a question. There might be some issues that come up, and somebody might come up and ask you, can you help me with this? And maybe you don't know the answer on how to help from God's word. So what should you do? Well, maybe you have a friend or somebody who might be able to point you, but you need to get into God's word, to read God's word, to be able to help somebody from God's word. We're instructed to be ready always to give an answer. Be ready always. So prepare yourself to help people. And that takes time. It takes time. In verse 9 of Acts chapter 10, the next day, as they were on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Now notice something here about Peter. He goes up to pray. He's hungry. Hungry. You ever get hungry? And as he's up there waiting, he fell into a trance. Look at verse 11. He saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. Here's a vision, a great sheet coming down from heaven. Verse 12, in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And we need to note here that for the Jews, God had given them specific instructions about what they could eat and what they could not eat. Certain things that they ate were to defile them, and they did not want that to happen, because then they had to do certain things to get rid of that defilement. So certain things God had commanded them not to eat. And now he sees this sheet, and in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air, all these different things in the sheets. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And look at Peter's response, verse 14. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." Was Peter trying to obey what he believed God wanted him to do? Yes. And for those who have become Christians, if you're going to be faithful to God, you need to learn what God wants you to do. Let's think about this morning. Why are we here this morning? Why? Nothing better to do? Football game's going on yet? I don't know. I don't watch football no more. I don't know. But we have the example that on the first day of the week, they came together to partake of what? The Lord's Supper. They prayed together. They sang songs to the Lord. And that's exactly what we do and why we do it. Because we find this written in God's word. If you're here this morning as a Christian, you want to make sure you obey God in every way. And that's why right now we're listening and hearing a part of God's word. That's what they did. They prayed together. The Lord's Supper, is that something that's important to do? Yes. And the reason the Lord's Supper is important to do is why? Is it because you like that unleavened bread? The reason we partake of it is because we are commanded to do so on the first day of the week. So we need to make sure that we obey God in every way, in every way. There's a right, there's a wrong. The song one of my grandsons saying, there's a right and there's a wrong. Two choices you've got. So which one should you choose? Choose the right. So again, everything God has commanded us to do, we need to make sure that we follow. So here, in verse 13, a voice said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." He does not want to disobey God. But now he's being instructed to do so, to do something different than he's done in the past, he's been taught. Verse 15, and a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Was he instructed? Yes, because now he's being told that God is now saying that this is cleansed. It's not common to you any longer. There's a change here. Verse 16, this was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. How many times was it done? Three times. Does that number three sound familiar? How many times did Peter deny the Lord? 3 times. How many days before the Lord was resurrected? 3 days. How many times did Jesus ask Peter, do you love me? 3 times. And now a third time, and what this, when I'm studying this, sometimes we need repetition, don't we? Do we always pick things up the first time? No. And Peter's, this is a big change in Peter's life. As a Jew serving God, he was taught these things. Jesus is opening up his mind through revelation to new things now. Things have changed, Peter, and it's going to be hard for him to do that. I don't like pudding, but I was tricked by my wife into eating pudding. And I liked it. So now I got a big battle going on, okay? Because I don't like pudding, but she tricked me and I liked what she gave me. No, God's not tricking him here, is he? The sheet comes down, he sees it 3 different times, and God says, whatsoever has been cleansed, you may not call common. Now let's look at verse 17. Peter's been instructed. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. The men are there. They're calling for Peter. What did Peter just have? Peter just had the vision from God given to him, instruction. You see how these things are coming together? And who put all these things together like this? The Lord did. He prepared Peter for what he's about to do. By revelation, this is what is going to happen. Verse 19, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, 3 men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So notice once again, Peter is being given instruction. Go with these men, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And once again, we're talking about Gentiles. And there were certain restrictions that Jews had in dealing with Gentiles. But now he's being told, go with them. And we're going to see what he does next. Verse 21, then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one who fears God, has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear word from you. Now, I want you to notice something here. Did Peter know why they were sent there? No. He asked them, and they told them that the angel had spoken to Cornelius and asked us to come get you. Look at verse 23. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. 2 important things here. The Gentiles were lodged with him before he left. And secondly, notice here in verse 23, some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. The word brethren, what does that mean? These are those who are Christians. They're going to go with Peter, and what are they going to be in the future? They're going to be witnesses to things that are going to take place. You see how God puts everything together here? Cornelius, spoken to by an angel. Peter has the vision from God. The men are sent immediately, and then Peter goes with them. And we're going to see what is going to take place next. Verse 24, and the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called them together, his relatives and close friends. I love this verse because the angel had told Cornelius, send for Peter. He will tell you what you must do. Cornelius is a devout man, one who prayed continuously to God. He helped other people in his community, those who had need. And now, as he's waiting for Peter, what did he do? Did he turn the TV on and watch the show? No. He called together his relatives and what? Close friends. Isn't that wonderful? He called together his relatives and his close friends. I'm going to stop on my message here because there's so much more. But I want you to notice again what Peter does. He called together who? His relatives and his close friends. Now earlier, at the beginning of the message, I asked, do you love me? That's a question Jesus asks. Do you love him? And if you love him, I hope you have the same kind of attitude Cornelius has here. Cornelius is concerned about who? His relatives and his close friends. You should be concerned about everyone. But he's getting them together because he has sent for Peter, because the angel had told him that Peter is going to tell you what you must do. And Cornelius wanted others to hear this too, to hear this important message about what you must do. And we'll stop here and, God willing, continue more in the book of Acts as we see next time, God willing, what Peter told Cornelius he must do. Now, what's wonderful about this is this message has not changed in how many years? Close to 2,000, right? 2026, it's getting close to 2,000 years. The message has not changed. God wants everyone to hear his word and to obey it. Now, if you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to take that step. Don't put it off. Don't delay. The Lord wants you to hear his word, to make sure you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be willing to confess him, repent of your sins, and be baptized for remission of your sins. Now, I mentioned, I think, five things you need to do here. And where did I get those five things from? I got them from his word. And again, if you want to abide in me, you need to continue my word, because my word will do what? Set you free. So if you're here this morning, I want to encourage you, if you've not yet done so, to obey the gospel. And if you're a brother or sister in Christ, if you need the prayer of this congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.